Welcome to Food Neighbourhoods on Monocle 24, coming to you from the team behind the menu. All cities have districts the locals treasure as their go-to destination for food and drink, and in this series, we get to know them. My name is Markus Hippi, and this time we head to East London. Traditionally poorer than the West End, last decade has seen a huge boom in East London's dining scene. Ever more restaurateurs are looking into opening new places in the East, new food markets are emerging, and top baristas scour for new spots for their coffee businesses. Our guide today is Rosie Burkett, who has written on food in East London. I met her at a cafe that has endured in the midst of the rapid and dramatic gentrification of the area, I Pelici on Bethnal Green Road.
Well, this is I Pelici, and it's a cafe in Bethnal Green, and this is one of my favourite cafes in East London.
Tell me about the owners and tell me about the history of this place.
Well, it's been in the same family since 1900, and it is now run by Nevio and Anna, who are brother and sister, and they are the granddaughter and grandson of the original owners, Edie and Priamo. Whose pictures you can see flanking the service hatch here. So it's been in the family for over 100 years, and it really is a bit of a time warp. When you walk inside here, it's so busy with the clatter of people eating, talking, Nevio and Anna slipping in and out of Cockney and Italian, people enjoying full English breakfast and bowls of lasagna, and of course this beautiful wood panelling, which has been here since I think 1946, when it was installed by a regular at the cafe and a carpenter called Achille Capocci. And at the time it was actually really out of step with the trend, which was for more American style diners, so much more like aluminium and sort of neon. But this is beautiful wood panelling, and the family had to get it installed a panel at a time because they couldn't really afford it at the time. But now here it is, perfectly, beautifully preserved, and it really gives this place such a lovely character.
This place is amazingly busy. It's about lunchtime, which kind of explains, but still I've been told that, you know, it doesn't really matter what time you come in, it's always relatively busy, and yeah, it's friendly. It's particularly friendly for London, I noticed already.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a really in the spirit of the East End, which is to welcome everyone with open arms and to have a bit of a laugh. Which you always get when you always get a cheeky joke from Nevio or a joke from Anna when you come in here, and that's part of the spirit. It's personal, and they you know, once you come in a few times, they'll know you by name and they'll know your life history because they actually ask you questions and they're interested, and they want to have a chat. So, you know, that's very special. So often when you go to a cafe in East London, it's very kind of serious and impersonal, and everyone's like staring into their laptop and looking terribly busy.
And as we discussed already, it is a really friendly place, and like sitting next to me is Norman. You've been coming here for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, a very long while. A very, very, very long while. Over 60, every day.
Has it changed?
Clientele has changed, most certainly, yes. Absolutely. It's done a 180-degree turnaround as far as the clientele is concerned. Before, you used to have your builders, your brewers, your dockers, your scaffolders, builders, whatever. But now you've got more of a mixture of people. You still get some of those in, but not as many as you used to. But it's a whole turnaround. It's a different crowd. Society has changed. The whole area has changed. So you, because of the cafe's notoriety, you're bound to get a different set of people. Some people don't like it, but other people do. I love it because you meet different people and you become friendly with people as well that you've never met.
And then a short time warp later, actually a car journey later, we are in another part of East London, in Hackney, and we're visiting a restaurant called Raw Duck now.
Yes, we are. We're sitting outside because it's a lovely day, and we've just placed our order, which I'm very excited about. This is one of my favourite neighbourhood restaurants in Hackney because I've never been disappointed here, and I always struggle to choose between all the delicious things on the menu.
What is it they do so well?
Well, they do a real mixture here. Their food is very much influenced by different global cuisines. So there's a Japanese element to what they do. There's definitely a Middle Eastern, North African kind of edge to some of their dishes. They do specialise in fermented foods and in fermented drinks as well, actually, because there is a kind of under the radar, because they don't sort of push it, but there's a health element, I think, to the food here, in that it's nourishing, and part of that is these fermented drinks and foods which are full of fantastic bacteria and probiotics. So we've actually ordered an assortment of pickles, which I think are just arriving now. So here we go. We've got a plate of red cabbage, some pickled fennel, and what looks like a sort of kale kimchi potentially, but we're just waiting on confirmation. Oh wow, that is amazing. That's the cauliflower stem kimchi, incredibly garlicky, and it's got a lovely chili kick to it.
Barista eggs here.
Oh, fantastic! That's me. Thank you.
And the salad.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thanks. And you got your portion now.
This is the harissa eggs, which I once made the mistake of not ordering, and my friend did, and then I just had food envy for the whole time. So I'm incredibly excited. It's just swimming. Two beautiful eggs cooked perfectly on top of a piece of charred sourdough, just swimming with this amazing deep red, ruby red harissa.
What is your feeling now that we look at these dishes and we're talking about these places? How important are local things to these restaurants, be it local culture or local ingredients or even local people?
I think they're key. Thank you. I think they're key to what they're doing here. Like Claire, the founder, always wanted to create a neighbourhood restaurant for people to come and have anything from a cup of coffee and a slice of toast to something more more elegant, which they do. You know, they do a lot of delicious dishes in the evening, and so I think that local customs at the heart of what they do. I mean, in a sense, some of the dishes are hyper local because they're quite literally fermenting them and culturing things here themselves. So in terms of like the microbes and stuff that are working on the ferments, those are super, super local.
That was raw duck in Hackney, and actually our final stop, we could go for a coffee then. It's not too far away from here.
A bit of cake.
Exactly. So now we're walking towards the next place, which is Violet, a great place for coffee and cake.
Yes, absolutely. We're heading towards one of my all-time favourites, which is Violet Bakery. And, I mean, you'd be very hard-pushed to find better baked goods than those crafted by Claire Patak and her team of bakers. Claire is a multi-talented woman. She used to work at Chez Panisse in Berkeley with Alice Waters, the famous chef who's been credited with the kind of Californian food revolution, and rightly so. And Claire just makes the most delicious things. That there's an emphasis on flavour with everything she makes. And the thing I love about her, the way she cooks and the way she bakes, is that she approaches baking like a chef would. You know, she uses seasonal ingredients. She thinks about flavour before, you know, how it looks, how beautiful it looks, even though it does look naturally beautiful. And everything she makes is just a joy to experience. Yeah.
There's quite a selection in offer over here.
So much stuff.
In Violet, by the way.
Right in front of us, there's a peach and cherry buckwheat cake. There's a gooseberry crumble bar. There are things that are only in season right now. You know, vanilla loganberry cake with gooseberry jam. That's hyper seasonal. And then you've got her classic things like the coconut cream slice, which she's famous for, the cinnamon buns, and the chocolate caramel rum slice. I'm really struggling to speak because my mouth is filling with saliva while I describe all these delicious things, and it also smells amazing in here.
Anyway, after the lunch, I can't eat much, so I think we should pick one thing to share.
Okay, what do you fancy? Is that loganberry cake? Is that, do you do slices of that?
No,
or it's just,
I'm afraid we just... No, it's
too beautiful to break into, really, isn't it?
The gooseberry bar's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, should we go for the gooseberry crumble bar?
Let's do it.
Do you like the sound of that? And do you want a coffee or anything?
I could have a flat white, please.
Can I please get a filter coffee? Cold brew would be perfect. Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Claire started off selling her cakes on Broadway Market every weekend. You know, that's how she started her business, and it's now an internationally renowned bakery. She has a column in a national newspaper and a best-selling cookbook. So I think the argument that we don't have great food in the UK is completely redundant.
At the same time, when I was listening to your answer, I also noticed that there was an Emirates A380 that flew across, which is kind of a great example of how international London is.
Well observed.
It's not just us picking things from elsewhere in the world. It's also some other countries maybe getting inspiration and ideas from London.
Definitely.
Just as a concluding thought, what do you think other cities should learn from London, or say from East London where we have been today?
I think one of the best things about East London and the places we've been to today is how relaxed and warm everywhere's been, and we've had fantastic, really great tea at Ipalici. We've had delicious, wholesome, nourishing, but mouth-watering food at Raw Duck, and now we're finishing up with a sweet treat and a really fantastic cup of coffee at Violet. And I think all of these things have been approachable in terms of how much they've cost. We haven't spent really over £10 anywhere apart from lunch, which was a bit more because we ordered an awful lot of food. But they've all been relaxed, they've all been warm, and they've all been friendly. And it is possible to have great food in a lovely setting, and for it not to cost the earth, and for it to be relaxed and fun. And I think that a lot of cities could learn a trick there from us.
Our guide today was Rosie Birkett, who has written the book East London Food. This was episode 2 of Food Neighbourhoods here on Monocle 24. We are back next Tuesday with episode 3 that takes us to New York. For more food and drink stories, tune in to The Menu every Friday at 1900 London time. I am Marcus Hippi. Thank you for listening and goodbye.